Standing on the promises of God. What is in your mind when you think of these words? We just sang it, standing on the promises of God.
Eternal life.
Amen. I believe we can say that from the very onset of the very beginning of the world, these words have rang in the ears of the faithful. That was their hope. That was their joy. We go back to the life of Adam and Eve. We go back to the life of Abraham. We go back to the lives of Noah and Job, the Apostle Paul, Peter, John, so many others. And what do we see? When we look at the lives of them, we see good things happening. And we see things happening that are very painful. But amidst those good things, amidst their pain, there was the joy in their hearts that said, we can stand on the promises of God. Is that not our joy, brothers and sisters, even today? Standing on the promises of God. Life will keep on bringing what it brings. Even death and the birth of a new one are so close together. Jan, how long ago was it that Nita was still here? That we still had her around us with her smile. We lost her. You lost her. The lives of the faithful. Good things will happen. And painful things will happen. But God's people, they live on another level. And they say, we stand on the promises of God. And so we know, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, that those who have fallen asleep, one day we will see them again. Psalms 25 says in verse 1, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. None of them who will trust in him, who will wait for him, will be put to shame. Even Jesus, John, on the cross, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, your will be done. Was God the Father with Jesus? Oh, yes. And ultimately, he was raised to the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, the Bible is the most encouraging book you can find. It's even still number one on the list of the best-sold books. The Bible is the most encouraging book, and we have it in our midst. And yet, there is a message in that book that is often said, do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. From the beginning to the end, so many times, do not be discouraged. Do not the most encouraging book, and still it also has a lot of words. Do not be dismayed. I am with you. You know, discouragement is one of the greatest tools in the devil's toolbox. If the enemy can get you discouraged, he can get you crippled. He will slow down your faith. He will slow down your movement. And in some cases, as we know, some people can eventually even fall away as a result of discouragement. There is a legend that says that the devil advertised all of his tools. A public auction. The buyers gathered, and everybody noticed in some corner there were a lot of people standing, because there was one oddly shaped instrument and it said not for sale. Asked to explain this, the devil said, I can miss many of my tools, but I cannot miss this one. It's the most useful and effective that I have, and it's called discouragement. Satan said, if I cannot make my way into the hearts of people, of believers, with this one, I can create a lot of chaos. So it's not for sale. This legend embodies a very sober truth. Discouragement is a very dangerous state of mind. Brothers and sisters, today I want to briefly talk about three things. Why do we so sometimes easily succumb to discouragement? We see it in our story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. What had Israel seen? Great and wonderful things. What was the testimony of the fathers? Don't forget about the Passover. Don't forget about the Red Sea. Don't forget about creation. Don't forget about Abraham, who suffered, who offered up his son Isaac on the sacrifice, and he was saved. They knew all of those things. And yet there is Goliath. And all of a sudden they become weak. They become discouraged. They say, what is happening? Where is our hope? We're gone. Let's talk about three things. They're not meant to be exhaustive, but let's talk about three things. You've probably heard the old saying, good people have to suffer too. And yes, that is so true. The Bible makes it plain. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. The sun shines on the good and the evil. Good things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. And vice versa. And we as believers, we as Christians should not be surprised. Even the Apostle Peter said, do not be surprised at the fiery trial. When you hear the word trial, what does that do to us? Doesn't bring good thoughts, right? And Peter even says, fiery trials. Even more, even deeper, even more. He said, don't be surprised. God is using that in order to refine you, in order to become like Jesus. And you can almost say him here the words, enjoy the journey. Brothers and sisters, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, in the world you suffer tribulation. And it is true. Paul, when I listened to your prayer this morning, many of our brothers and sisters, we pray for them because something is happening. Something happened to them. And it is true. Good things will come, and painful things will come. But you know what? For some reason, somehow, we have a tendency to look at some words and to put our binoculars on those words. Tribulation and suffering. But look at what Jesus said in that whole verse. He said, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we focus, but we do not focus on the whole. We focus only on half. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. How beautiful is that? All these words that Jesus spoke. Jesus said, I know this is a world of tribulation. I know it is a world of pain. I know this is a world where there will be fiery trials. Jesus says, I know. That is why I've given you these words. But brothers and sisters, even there, Satan tries to take something. And he basically tells us, just focus at these four words. And what happens? We go down in the spiral. But when we look at Jesus' words, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Brothers and sisters, it is so important. As Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 tell us, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. How important is that? How important are those words? I have said these things to you that you may have peace. Brothers and sisters, we have to be real with our pain. We have to be real with our disappointments. We have to be real with the trials and the fiery trials. But let us also be real with Jesus' other words that says, focus on me. Focus on my word. And you will find peace. Whether times are good, whether times are evil, whether the sun is shining, whether the rain is coming down, if the word of Christ is living in us, there will be peace. But Satan wants to take that away. Paul, I believe you quoted at least part of these words. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, these words need to be in our hearts. And when those words live in our hearts, what happens? Of course, there will be tears sometimes. But through the tears, we'll pass the peace of which Paul says surpasses all understanding. There was an old lady, and she said, "Did you notice?" And she was smiling in the troubled face in front of her. And she said, "When the Lord encouraged the fishermen to cast their nets again, where did he tell them to put their nets? In a different place?" No. In the same place. "Put out your nets," he said. Brothers and sisters, too often we think, if I could just be somebody else. Too many times we think, could I be just in a different place? Sometimes we think, if I could just change this or that situation. Jesus said, throw your nets out in the place where it did not work for the whole night. They catch nothing. What happened? They cast out their nets in the very same place. And what happened? You know the story. More than the cats could carry. Don't you love the words? Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Can you imagine Abraham going up on that mountain? What I like about that story is that he says when he goes up onto the mountain and he leaves his servants down, you know what he says there? After we have sacrificed, we will come down. Abraham knew that he would come down with his son, and yet God said, go and sacrifice your son. We know from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Abraham said, God is a God of miracles. If I had a son past the time that I could have had children, God can raise him up from the dead. To Abraham, it was 1 + 1 = 2. But brothers and sisters, is that also true for us? Is that true for you? Is that true for me? With God, all things are possible. Right in the place where you are. You don't have to change your name. You don't have to change your work. You don't have to change anything. God can do wonders right where you are. As Psalm chapter 27 says, wait and see and taste that the Lord is good. But it all comes down to the four-letter word, W-A-I-T. God does not always act right away. God says sometimes we need to wait. That is so important to us. In the second place, sometimes our own thinking is the very source of our discouragement. Too often, we interpret things as too difficult and too hard. And we allow both discouragement in our minds and in our hearts. Too often we interpret things too difficult and too much. And brothers and sisters, I say this with utmost respect, because some things are very hard and are very difficult. I believe that is one of the reasons why when Peter was sifted as the wheat by Satan, what did Jesus tell him afterwards? He says, when you are restored, what follows after? Strengthen the brethren. I would like to suggest, brothers and sisters, we need to be storytellers among one another. We need to be telling the stories about the great and wonderful things that God has done in our own life. Can I share one of mine? There she is. I waited 48 years. I don't know why. I don't know how. I have prayed. I have seen dark days. I have seen days that I said, Lord, can the tree please cross the road? It's enough. I don't want to anymore. God says, wait. And one day, it all happened. It all came together. Brothers and sisters, what am I saying? We need to be storytellers. As Peter said to Jesus, when you are restored, when you come through it, when the difficult times is gone by, strengthen your brethren. But brothers and sisters, the challenge is, are we storytellers? Are we telling one another, this has happened to me? But you know what? This is what God did. I waited. I cried. But God did when I thought it was not possible. That is so important to us, brothers and sisters. Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says these words. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God and shall we not receive evil? In all this Job does not sin with his lips. Brothers and sisters, tough times will come. Difficult times will come. But let us learn to be storytellers. Let us learn to share with one another. Let us not only sit together in worship and in Bible study, but let us sit down in our homes. Let us sit down at the coffee table. Let us sit down in private time and share with one another our stories, what God has done in your and in my life. It is so important, brothers and sisters, that we do that. There is a constant challenge. And you know what the challenge is? The challenge is mind control. I was in a Bible study earlier this week, and we talked about that. When you think of God, when you think of Satan, they both want your mind. Jesus says, all these things are written that you will have peace. And Satan comes around and tries to get you discouraged. Where does it start? It all starts in your mind. That's why the Bible constantly speaks about the renewal of your mind. Romans 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, about the great battle. It's all about mind control. When you look at this world, they want your mind. When you look at the advertisements, they want your mind. Of course, they want your money, but the money comes when you make a decision in your mind to buy it. It's all about the mind. And so, brothers and sisters, even today, can we encourage one another to be storytellers? Can we encourage one another to tell the great deeds of God? Can we be those kind of people that can count on one another when the times are difficult, that we will be a we will be an encouragement, that we will hold one another, that we will strengthen one another? That is so important to us as believers. Brothers and sisters, it's about mind control. When God is in your mind, as Jesus says, all things are possible. But if that gets on a slippery slope, we need to watch out. And when that happens, we need to reach out to one another and say, brother, it's not going so well with me. I'm going on a slope. Can you help me? Can you tell me a story? Psalms 105 says, tell the great stories of God. And of course, it's talking about the old covenant people, but it all comes down to we're telling the stories to one another and fill our hearts with utter peace and utter joy. And then enjoy the journey. Amen.